and turn to John chapter 8. And we're pretty much going to be on these verses today. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Then Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in his father's house, abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So here is Jesus talking to some Jews, many of whom believed. And he said to them, "If you abide in me, you are my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What was their response? Was it, "Woohoo! I'm free! Hallelujah! I know you! I'm abiding in you! I rejoice in you, Jesus! Let's party!" What do they say? "How can you say we are to be free? We've never been slaves to anyone. So how do you say that?" I want you to keep this in mind. That's a defensive spirit. That's a spirit that is defending itself in attitude of pride. Okay? In an attitude of pride. You don't know how many times when my wife would call me out on something, and all of a sudden, I'm angry at her, and it's like, "Why am I angry?" Or, "I didn't do that. I didn't mean that. Uh-uh, you're wrong." And it turns out the root of that is some kind of spirit of pride or something that had me in bondage that I had to go, "Whoa, stop. Oh, no, no, no. She's speaking the truth. And I am becoming defensive." See, as Christians, we don't have to be defensive ever. See, Jesus never said, be defensive of the gospel. He said, "Go and preach the word." In other words, be offensive with it. Oh, and part of preaching is healing the sick, casting out demons, raising people from the dead. Preach the word and do these things. Not, "Well, preach the word, and if they come at you, be defensive this way." The word of God is offensive. For those who are rejecting God, it is truly an offensive thing. And those who are in bondage, it's an offensive thing. But to us who are preaching it, we are on the offense. We're not here to maintain the kingdom. We're here to take the kingdom, take ground for the kingdom. That's what he said to do. So the sheer fact that the Jews came back with, "We've never been in bondage," that spirit of defensiveness, that lying spirit, blocked from their memory the fact that they were slaves to the Egyptians for how many hundreds of years. They were also slaves to their pride and arrogance and lack of obedience that caused them to take a 10, 11-day journey into 40 years. And right now, they're basically under Roman oppression. Yet, they're saying to Jesus, "We've never been slaves. We're free." That spirit of deception had their eyes completely blinded to their reality, to the truth of the Word of God. So what does Jesus say? He says, "If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed." In other words, if you abide in my Word, you'll get it. You'll get it. See, the word abide in the Greek These are the various types of definitions for it. To continue in, to remain in, to hide in, to stay in, to not depart from, to continue to be present, to maintain unbroken fellowship with. In other words, when he says abide in my word, he doesn't mean come over at 9 o'clock, go home. He means come, rest, stay forever in my word. Continually, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Jesus is the word of God. In other words, he's abiding in us. And we can read later in John 14, 15, 16, 17, when he's talking about the true vine and the branches and abiding in the vine. He is the true vine. And if you abide in that, the branch is going to bear good fruit. And we can go into that some other time. But this word abide, it means to stay in. It's a part of who I am. In other words, I don't separate going to church from what I do every other day in my relationship with God. What you see here should be just an example of what goes on in my life every other day of my life. I can't come here and turn it on. Too many of us show up and all of a sudden become spiritual. We can't turn on and off Jesus. If we're going to abide in his word, as he says, to be his disciples, we are to stay in his word. Stay in fellowship with him. Stay in communion with him. We don't stop that. We don't say, these are my friends, Jesus, and these are my Jesus friends, so you're here and I'm there. Or this is my Jesus place and this is my non-Jesus place. If I'm going to abide in him, in his word, every breath I breathe is about him. Everything I do is congruent to his word, is true to who he is. And see, we read at the very beginning of this, then Jesus said to those who believed in him. See, these were Jews who were believing that he was the Messiah, who were believing in him already. Yet, there was still an oppressive spirit that had them in spiritual blindness and bondage. Okay? You can be a Christian and still be oppressed demonically, spiritually. You've heard that many times. Maybe you're here today for the first time and didn't know that. But yes, you can. I can tell you at least a half a dozen spirits I've had to cast and have somebody pray over me and lead me in a prayer to expel and remove this spirit from my life. I used to not be able to walk down the steps if my wife was worshiping in the house and feel comfortable. I would be like, why is she worshiping in the house again? I just want to watch TV. That, seriously, in my own home that was supposed to be my sanctuary, there was a demonic thing within me that repulsed me from the worship of God in my own home. And I had to realize that. And just like the Jews, well, I've never been in bondage. I'm like, no, you're wrong. You're crazy. I just need to relax. I just need to relax. That was the lie. Till the truth came out and was revealed. And we went through this thing. See, sometimes you can be in bondage for so long. We can be so oppressed that it becomes the norm and that we forget we're even in bondage. You know, we talk about people who struggle with mental illness and different types of things. They get so comfortable in their uncomfortable state that being out of that state is even more uncomfortable. Being well makes them feel unhealthy because they got so used to feeling healthy when they're not well. It's a learned helplessness. So here, we're struggling with this thing. This thing that's been oppressing us makes us feel like we're okay where we are, even though the truth is right in front of us and we're denying it or not receiving it. Because this spirit of deception, this lying spirit that's oppressing our hearts and minds, that we've allowed in. You got to remember something. We let these things in. Okay? We do something say something that opens the door for these things to enter in. And then we have to work through to get it out. But it comes in, and then it becomes some of us for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years can be a part of our lives that we don't even know it's there anymore. An angry spirit. Oh, that they're just temperamental. Really? Are we supposed to carry an angry spirit? They're just all over the place mentally, you know. They can't think too strong for too long. They're thinking about this. Their mind's bouncing everywhere. Oh, I'm multitasking. Really? God is a God of peace. There may be something causing confusion within us. Think about tendencies. Remember what difference between iniquity and sin is. Sin is the act of wrong. Iniquity is the template of that act that continues to do the same thing. Getting drunk once is a sin. Getting drunk every time or using controlled substance is the iniquity. It's the thing that houses that sin. That's the difference. So this sense of iniquity is what keeps us in bondage. And their minds were so deluded that, oh, we've been free all the time. When they were even then under Roman oppression. And yet here's Jesus saying, you are here to be free. The Son is here to make you free. See, here's a little thing, and I'm going to try to say this slow because it would have been perfect to have on PowerPoint, and I apologize again. But abiding in His Word leads to being a disciple of Jesus. I want you to follow me here. Being a disciple of Jesus, according to what we read, leads to the knowledge of truth. So abiding in His Word leads to being a disciple of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus equates and leads to having knowledge of His Word, right? Because He is the Word. Remember what a true disciple was when we talked about a Talmudim. A disciple, a Talmudim, didn't want to know what the Pharisee or rabbi knew. He wanted to be what the rabbi was. Intertwined, okay, in their relationship. So, abiding in the Word leads to being a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus equates and leads to knowledge of the Word, of the truth. Knowledge of the truth leads to understanding of the Son. A recognition of the knowledge of the truth lets us realize who the Son is. Okay? Recognition, understanding of the Son now leads to an understanding of freedom. Because when I realize who Jesus is, that love, out of love, He went to the cross, I understand why He went to the cross. Therefore, I have an understanding of what it means to be free, because the Son came to set me free. Disciple of Jesus is that knowledge leads to knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth leads to an understanding of the Son. Understanding of the Son equals understanding of freedom. Understanding of freedom will lead you to repentance. I'm sorry, realization of bondage. See, if I know what it is to be free, I realize what it is to be in bondage. Right? See, the disciples didn't know, these Jews that He's talking to, didn't know they were in bondage or didn't realize it because they didn't know what freedom was. Let me say that again. There was a lack of recognition that they were in bondage because they did not know what freedom looked like. You know, for the longest time, I was in a rut in serving the Lord for over 10 years in a rut, right? Keep going. I did what I needed to do, but I did not, never once did I realize how burnt out I was for years. That I was under this bondage of doing rather than ministering to God. And it wasn't till all of a sudden I began to realize what that looked like and began to move in it, all of a sudden I realized how much bondage I was in. Without the weight of bondage on me, I realized what it meant to be free. Even to the point where people were beginning to say, you look happier, you look more relaxed, you look more at ease. So we can even be in bondage in the doing what we do because we're not being in the place to receive from God what He wants us to receive, that refreshing spirit that renews the heart, that renews the soul, that pours fresh water on us. So we can't be blinded to that. We have to, in order to see the truth, we got to know the truth, and the truth is who the Son is. So knowledge of the truth equals understanding of the Son. Understanding of the Son leads to a realization of bondage. Realization of bondage now leads me to repentance. Because once I know I am in bondage, my job now is to go to the one who has the key to release me, right? So what I need to do is figure out what threw me in this prison cell in the first place. Because bondage is the only prison cell that I walk into and lock myself in and stick the key on the other side. Bondage is the thing that I open the door to and I step into and I allow in my life. Now, this bondage could have its root in abuse. It could have its root by emotionally traumatic moment in our lives. Can have its root in hurt. Can have its root in doubt or somebody speaking something over us that we accepted and believed in. Remember that. I think a lot of people that I speak to, the root of their bondage is the fact that somebody said something about who they are. So our words carry a lot of power and weight. And the freedom lies in the knowledge of who the Son is and that we are partakers in the Son in the heavenly realm. But it begins by saying, oh Lord, I want to repent for opening the door for this bondage in my life. I want to repent for allowing that thought to enter my mind. I want to repent for putting myself in that position where I allowed this to come in. And I repent for letting it go on as long as it has. See, again, understanding of freedom is a real recognition of the bondage. Recognition of the bondage should lead to repentance. What does repentance mean? It means to change your mind. So, Lord, I'm sorry for going this course and for this long. And I'm changing my mind, and now I'm going to choose this course instead, where you are. I'm choosing you. And repentance opens the door for the grace of Jesus. Repentance opens the door, grace. And the grace of Christ, what Jesus did on the cross, is what leads us to freedom. And this is the beautiful thing. Freedom equals the inheritance of the Father. In the freedom of Christ leads to the inheritance that God the Father has bestowed upon the Son, who we are partakers with in the heavenly realm. Freedom in the Son releases the inheritance of the Father. Ephesians 1:3, one of my favorite verses. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So this inheritance, these blessings of God are waiting for us. They've already been given to us. Problem is, we're not claiming them because either, just to work it backwards, either we haven't received the grace of God or we haven't repented because we haven't realized we were in bondage, and we didn't realize we're in bondage because we didn't understand what freedom was, and we don't understand what freedom is because we don't have a real understanding of the Son. We don't have an understanding of the Son because we've refused the knowledge of the truth. We've refused the knowledge of the truth because we're not truly being a disciple of Jesus, and we're not being a disciple of Jesus because we made the choice not to abide in His Word. His word is true. Bible says flowers fade and the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was God. We're going to abide in His word. That means we are continually in fellowship in Jesus, with Jesus. We're continually, our life, everything we do with Him. Everything we do with Him and in Him. See, not abiding in the Word leads to a lack of knowledge of the truth, which leads to lack of repentance, which leads to unreceived grace, which leads to continuation of sin, the acts of disobedience, which leads to bondage, which leads to separation from the Father's household. Separation from the Father's household leads to no inheritance. I'm going to say that again if you're not writing this down. Lack of knowledge, not abiding in His Word, leads to a lack of knowledge of the truth. That leads to lack of repentance. That leads to unreceived grace. That leads to continuation of the sin we're in. That leads to bondage. That leads to separation from the Father's household. Separation from the Father's household keeps us from our inheritance. Keeps us from our inheritance. See, what did Jesus say? In verse 34 here, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. See, the lie of sin and the deception of bondage says this: I can keep doing what I'm doing, acting the way I'm acting, and still live in my Father's house. I can still play the fool and never get kicked out of my Father's house. The lie of sin is the teenager that says, I'm going to disrespect my mom and dad. I'm going to not care about what they provide for me or do for me. I'm going to treat them like dirt. I'm going to disrespect their values, their morals, their way of being. But I'm still going to be able to live in this house. They're going to love me here. They're still going to want me to stay here. Mm-mm. You're 18, get out. Right? Once I'm no longer bound for you, if you're legally an adult, if you're going to do this, get out of my house. Abiding in the Son keeps us in the house of the Father. But more than keeps us, we are partakers in everything the Father has for us. Right? Everything. See, if I'm abiding in my Father's house, I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant in my Father's house. I am a son and daughter who has an inheritance to everything in this house. That's the difference. That's the difference. See, you know when Paul, right, begins his letters, Paul, a bond servant of Christ? That word bondservant means something completely different from servant. A bondservant is somebody who may have been a slave in someone's household at one time, but now they have been freed. But out of love and dedication and obedience and commitment for the master and their household, they choose to continue abiding in that household, fulfilling the role they're called to fulfill. They're no longer forced to stay there. They choose to stay there. So at this point, they almost move up from servant to like family member. When I choose to abide in my Father's household, in my Father's Word, in the Word of God, I'm choosing to be a son and daughter in His home. I'm not a servant. I don't take out the garbage because I have to. I take it out because I want to. I love what was said in prayer this morning. When one of us in this, as part of this body, is blessed, the entire body is blessed. When one of us gives testimony of the glory of God, it affects all of us. It builds all our faith. We're part of the same body abiding in our Father's house when we are choosing to abide in His Word and walk in His freedom. Walk in His freedom. See, in our Father's house, there's also the Spirit of truth in John talks about. I think it's John 14. Talks about Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth is the Spirit of revelation that reveals truth. Abiding in the Word and the knowledge of the truth comes forth from the Spirit of truth, from the Holy Spirit. As we abide in His house, as we abide with Jesus, what do you think is going to happen? Things are going to be revealed that He wants to wash away from us, that we have been a slave to for so long. See, when the prodigal son came home, for how long he lived a certain way of life apart from his father's house, and he became accustomed to that way of life. But when he came home and embraced by his father, now to abide in his father's house, he had to now relearn how to be a son again. With the full inheritance, even though he squandered it, guess what? God got more. His father has more for him. He did not say, "You're a slave now, you squandered your inheritance." He said, "You're my son, get back here. You sold your good clothes and robes, guess what? I'm going to give you my robe and put it on you. You were a slave working as a pig farmer and slop. Now you're going to be sitting at my table. We're cleaning you up. We're going to wash away anything that resembles bondage, anything that brings to reminiscence of that part of you. We want to get you clean. We want to set you completely free." Because see, you can be physically free, but if your mind has not been renewed by the knowledge of the truth, by the Word of God, of who you are in that freedom, you're still stuck of it. We hear so many stories of people who've been in jail for 20, 30 years. That's all they've known. They get released from prison. They don't know how to live in freedom. They end up back in prison because their mind has not been renewed to freedom. Abiding in His Word, abiding in Christ, is like being set free from that prison. And Jesus walking with us, teaching us how to walk in freedom in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our life. I see it where I work. Somebody who's been in prison 6 months, I watch them in the cafeteria. You know how they eat? They eat like this. Because that's what they're used to in prison, with their head down protecting their food. And it takes them weeks to get comfortable to sit up at the table to eat. Renewing your mind, with the Word of God, having Jesus, understanding who we are in Christ. When the Son sets you free, you are free. You walk in the freedom. The lie of sin says, I can still live the way I want to live and be in my Father's house. Tell you to keep doing what you want to do. And nothing, there's no consequences, nothing. But see, John 15, 21 and 22 says this, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. In other words, I'm calling out sin for what it is. Jesus also said he didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Read that in John 3. He came to save the world, not judge the world. Judgment is later. But now we have every opportunity to be saved and set free by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. I called out sin that's been in hiding, the bondage that's been revealed because people have been walking in it for so long. They don't know what freedom is. To continue in 15, 23 and 24. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. Remember what I told you? It's that spirit of pride, that lying spirit that wants to keep us in bondage, wants to keep us held back. They hate Jesus because Jesus is calling them out. And it manifests in pride and arrogance. It's not me, in that defensive attitude. I didn't do anything wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. Jesus came to shine a light to us. Shine a light not to judge us, but to heal us, to set us free, to love on us, to teach us what it means to walk in freedom. Just like he said, take my yoke, for it is easy. Why are you carrying this trunk on your back when I'll give you this little duffel bag with feathers in it? Why are you doing that? I want to teach you how to walk in freedom, because you've been walking like this for so long, you forgot how to walk upright. This lying spirit says it's all okay. We're all God's children anyway, right? Well, John 1, 12 to 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Those who received him, you now have the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, you have the right to be called children of God, and you've received him, and you were born to be children of God, not by fleshly blood, not by the will of the flesh. How do you translate the will of the flesh? You translate by things that we've done, that we've allowed to shape who we are today. Things that we've allowed in our minds, that we've accepted. Remember, you empower the liar by believing the lie. The things that we've accepted, spoken over us, that we gave authority in our lives. That's being born of the flesh or the will of man. By constantly grasping our identity of who we are and how we're supposed to be by what others say we're supposed to be like. Because instead of receiving our knowledge of who we are from the knowledge of the truth, by abiding in him, we're accepting what everyone else is saying about us. He's saying you have the right to be children of God. Not because of these things, but because of the will of the heart of God. It's his God, it's our God who loves us, who sent Jesus to not just save us, but set us free. Walk in that freedom. Walk in that freedom. See, the steps to freedom is simple. Abide in His Word. Stay tuned. I heard the word last week and I've kind of accepted this as my word. Synchronized with the heart of God. To abide in His Word, to abide in Him, is to have our hearts and mind synchronized to the heart of God and the mind of Christ. We are in sync. You ever synchronize something? It means everything is lined up perfectly. You synchronize it. Abide in His Word. And then let Him shine that light of truth so we can recognize that what is within us that's still under bondage, that is in bondage and in sin, still oppressed. If you have fears, that's an oppressive spirit of fear. You worry a lot, that's bondage. You get stressed out easily, that's bondage. Because you're not allowing peace to come in. Something else is taking the place of the peace of Christ. Therefore, you're in bondage. You walk on eggshells all the time, that's bondage. You struggle getting out of bed because you just are not motivated in the morning, that's bondage. The Bible says His Word and His mercies are new every morning. If that doesn't excite us, we're in bondage. And we're all Christians. We're being oppressed. This is His Word. So these are the things that Jesus called out that we've kind of said, oh, we're not slaves to anybody. Nobody controls me. You can't tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. If these things haunt us, if these things keep us from going outside of our comfort zone, we are in bondage. We're afraid. We're not trusting. Just the fear of trusting is a sense of bondage that we're under. We recognize that by staying in His Word. And when we realize that, we just simply say, Lord, I repent for opening that door. I repent for keeping that door open. And I'm changing my mind. I'm shutting that door now in Jesus' name. And I'm walking with You. I'm walking in Your grace. I receive Your grace. And that leads, that opens the door for Christ to pour His inheritance on us. When we walk in that, it's really that simple. But it's hard to admit, isn't it? It's hard to admit because it means some of us may have to go into the darkest places of a soul that we've suppressed or we don't want to admit to, or maybe never admitted to anybody and are full of shame. See, that's another. You know, Bible says, know the schemes of the enemy, because by knowing his plans, you can overcome them. If you're feeling shame over something, that's a telltale. That's an area God wants to set you free from. So this morning, we're going to be setting some people free. We want you to walk in freedom. Want you to walk in freedom. Even yesterday, I'm a part of this as much as you are. My wife and I were praying yesterday, and she said something, and I said something that requires a great deal of faith, but I laughed at it. And when she called me out on it, first I was like, huh? And then I asked the Holy Spirit, show me. And He said, there's a spirit of doubt in you. So I had to repent right there. Lord, I repent of that spirit of doubt, for allowing that spirit of doubt to ever come in and laughing at what you can fully do, that you are fully capable of doing. And I receive the supernatural faith that's in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of faith. I receive it in Jesus' name. And I walk in Your grace. And I receive that inheritance of that supernatural faith. Didn't take 20 minutes. It took maybe 30, 45 seconds. But we need to let the truth of God be revealed.